The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I thought I'd let you all enjoy the song this morning. It's Levin Miller. I'm here. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you do it and that you do that do with me. So let me firstly get out of the gate by saying, again, thank you to Her Excellency for joining me yesterday as we wrapped up the segment that is, or was rather, the HMBS Flamingo series here on Guardian Radio. I'm going to try to see if I can compose it. But because I've had a lot of you all calling me trying to figure out how to get hard copies, I'm going to ask my producer to take a look into that, and then I'll see what it is that we come up with. But to all of the people that have joined me over the last month, Captain Allens, Captain Neely, Mr. Greg Curry, Mr. Arnold Wilson, Lord Rule, of course, also Father Sebastian Campbell, my very own squad mate, C.G. Neely, and of course, you know, notably about, among them, Her Excellency, Dame Marguerite Pinling. I want to say a special thank you to you all as we try to see if we can help the story be told over and over and over and over and over. And again, I understand that there are some people that will take umbrage with that, but for whatever it is worth, we tell the story of so many other things around here. I figure why not tell that story? And so I wanted, again, to just come out and say thank you to those people. Now, outside of that, I don't know what's happening with my voice. It does this thing. Maybe it's the clouds outside. Let me also say that you can definitely feel free to sponsor this show if you would like to hear more shows like the one that I have done with the Flamingo. And if you feel like we're doing a great job over here at Guardian Radio 96.9, you can get on the phone, get Janet Lee's those on the phone, and they can kind of square you away with a wonderful package on what I know to be the best talk show happening around this town at this hour. As a matter of fact, even if you're an MSNBC fan, right? Like, I couldn't imagine you choosing to watch MSNBC over listening to me at 11 o'clock. This is the best thing I could think about for you to be doing at 11 o'clock at any event. Anyway, so because yesterday was the kind of show that it was, I decided that today I would open the lines. Now, there are some things that I want to talk about, right? You can join me in those conversations. But, you know, I try not to box you all in. So if you have something that you want to talk to me about, we can talk about that. But this morning, there are two things that really stand out to me. One is the fact that the deficit spend is going to be somewhere around $987 million, is it? And the thing about that that is still beginning to be concerning to me is I'm not quite sure. I saw an article in the newspaper this morning as well that talked about the government's funding of Bahamas Air. And I'm trying to wonder to myself, how many state-funded enterprises or state-sponsored enterprises or whatever they call them, by whatever name they go, how many of these are we going to carry? How long are we going to continue to carry them? And what is going to be the benefit? As we approach what is now almost officially the post-pandemic world, right? I am of the opinion that we have got to kind of figure out which of the state-sponsored things around this place still make sense. And I am of the opinion that Bahamas Air no longer does. Bahamas Air has been a funded enterprise somewhere around the tune of about minimum $20 million per annum. And quite honestly, I don't know if we've seen the yield from that investment as we had intended to. And then, of course, notably among them, and I thought about this yesterday when Her Excellency had actually talked about the establishment of some of the organizations and institutions that had been established under the Progressive Liberal Party, like the National Insurance Board, like the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I'm not sure if all of these things that were started underneath the Progressive Liberal Party in a different dispensation of Bahamianhood, that all of these things are living up to their intended expectation. And if they are, I'm not sure they're generating finances in the way that they ought to have been. Again, most notably among that list is Bahamas Air. And so the question I now have in my mind is, what are the ones that we need to get rid of, right? And of course, there is the question of, if not the government, then who will run it? Which conglomerate will we give it to? How do we expect to have interconnectivity among the family of islands if we don't have Bahamas Air, la da 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 da? And that argument in my mind is moot because largely on any given day of the week, you can take another plane that's not Bahamas Air to any island in the Bahamas that you so desire. And in the instances where there isn't an official airline that goes there, there are charter planes that go there, right? Like there are actually airports like the one in, where's that? San Andres, that you take private planes to all the time. So I'm not sure if what we see on the spreadsheet as the expense for Bahamas Air, I'm not sure if the price tag that we pick up for Bahamas Air, I'm not sure that the price tag that we pick up for things like the prison. I mean, maybe the time has come for the Bahamas government to not fund a prison facility. Maybe, this is just me thinking, maybe the time has come for us to consider divesting our government of things like the prison system, right? So that the burden of the upkeep isn't on the public purse. And so that the facilities aren't in the position that this one finds itself in, right? The complaints of the prison have been age old, and everybody knows that largely we've not done a really good job keeping the place up. But I get it. I get the basic tenor of Bahamian appetite for prison is that we want to make it the most god-awful place on the planet so that no one can ever want to go there again. I get that. I get that is how we do prisons in the Bahamas. But if, in fact, what we are moving to is a correctional facility, et cetera, and as such, we are trying to make sure that the prison system isn't this jail-like thing that we have built over the years, then maybe. And I know that I know of the challenges in places like Chicago with privately funded prisons, right, which kind of created a conveyor belt of criminals. So what would happen is you would have judges that would become corrupt, and those judges would be shareholders in the companies that manage the prisons. And so as in an attempt to keep the prison funded, judges would give people very large custodial sentences because, you know, that is how they funded the prison. So we know that to be the case. The question now becomes, how do we work around things like that? How do we look into the future of the Bahamas? And you can join me, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text me, 422-4796. You all say I say it too fast every time that I say it, so I'll say it again. You can call me, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or you can text me at 422-4796. Where was I? So, now that we have the information about places like Chicago, we have got to figure out now, how do we make the journey through the new era that either mirrors or eclipses the Bahamas in the 70s, right? Because I don't think we have seen a window of development. And of course, largely, I wasn't here for the 70s, but just going off of my knowledge of history in the Bahamas, as well as what I have witnessed through the 90s, 2000s, and 10s, is there appears to have been a steady digression or decline in our development as a people. I mean, granted, we've done things like the Atlantis. Granted, we have the largest hotel investment in, I think, the region with Bahama. But institutionally, have we gotten more sound? Have we figured out new ways to ensure that the country itself continues to garner wages or absorb fees and taxes that kind of cause our deficit to shrink over time? Do we continue to operate in a model where there are few people that, because of whatever their protected industries are, they become magnanimous millionaires while the government limps along absorbing the cost of keeping the country and its facilities up and running and open, and these people never contribute? I think these are all things that we have to think about. And a part of the thing that caused me to think this morning was seeing Mr. Trenquist, right? Peter Trenquist is in the newspaper this morning with what I imagine to be the most laughable thing I've ever read, suggesting that the Bahamas, and I want to quote him, "The Bahamas missed the peak opportunity to implement the cannabis industry." Well, my God, what is this? Because if my recollection isn't fuzzy, well, Peter Trenquist just sat in the number two chair in the cabinet. Well, when exactly did he discover that we were missing the window? When exactly did he know? And if he knew before now, then why exactly did he not say? If he, not only the deputy prime minister, but also the minister of finance, thought that there was great yield to be gotten in this industry, then why not, as the man holding the purse, suggest to your administration that, boss, one of the best ways to, you know, to kind of ramp up revenue would be to get in the front of this cannabis thing and become the forerunner in the region for cannabis. Although I don't think we have the capability to do that. I think we are miles length behind Jamaica. And so, as you see these things, I'm going to read the article. We have to wonder, like, what is the next Bahamas? What is the new Bahamas? Is there such a thing? Will the new Bahamas will we ever feel the thrust of development that Bahamians that are 30 years older than I am, 40 years older than I am, that kind of thrust that was seen with things like the establishment of the NIB, with things like the establishment of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force? Dame Marguerite accounts that when the Defense Force was started, well, able-bodied men lined up to join this because this was something new. It was some way to be included in the fabric that was Bahamian. I don't know, as a man approaching 40, if I see that around here, if there is such a thing that has been created. And I know you're going to say, oh my God, it's the private sector's job to do these things, blah, blah, blah. I disagree with that. And the reason I disagree with that is because in small countries, right, with small populations, largely the government sets the tone. The government is the largest employer. The government is the largest consumer. And if that is the case, then the people that we elect to public office have to continue to create policies that cause trailblazing, because that trailblazing will then matriculate into the society, and we will begin to see people doing interesting things in and around the Bahamas. That is how I feel about it. So we've got to wonder, is the time now to consider things like the nationalization of the agriculture product? Should all of the timber and lumber that is harvested in the Bahamas go into the public's coffers? Should every scale off of every fish caught in the Bahamas go into a national program? We see things like this in places like Alaska, where, quite honestly, I think they have a quota system, right? Where you pay a certain amount and the government expects you to deliver X amount of on your quota per year. And once you reach that quota, you are pretty much off for the rest of the season. But your catch is assured to have been bought or be bought because the government of Alaska has nationalized the product. Think about how that affects our bottom line. How will we go through that? What exactly would that look like in the Bahamas? And then we have to think about the demands or the desires of Bahamian people. Bahamian people living in the city have suggested on many occasions that they want unified public transportation, or so they say, right? Because they don't act like people that want unified public transportation. But when we look at unified air transportation in the Bahamas, e.g. Bahamas Air, were we successful with that? Because, you know, pardon the expression, it looks to me as though they're piddling money away in the wind with regards to Bahamas Air. And so if we had unified public ground transportation, who is to say that based on the markets that we've already seen from things like Bahamas Air, again, at the tune of about $20 million for over 20 years, and at the tune of, what is it, $56 million last year, can we not then reasonably assume that the government will be absolutely terrible at unified public transportation? And what will be the cost of that? Will the deficit grow as a result of that? Will that generate any money in any real way that increases the government's ability to spend? I don't think any of these things are actually going to be of any real consideration unless we figure out a strategy to get out of the post-pandemic world. All right, and so that's what I think this morning. Those are some of the things that are going through my head. I'm trying to figure out how to help these people. I've never been to an economy school in my life. Don't know anything about economics, but I do read, and I have a brain, and it works most days. And so I'm trying to see if maybe if my eyes look at it, right, maybe my brain will think about it in a way that is different than the economists and those people that are the financial experts, right? And then maybe we will be able to figure out what are the steps or the things or the thing that will get us out of here. If you followed me any at all, you will know that I'm a major proponent of sin taxes, right? Like, I believe people, human beings, will pay for whatever their vices are, right? Like, I really like titty bars, and I would pay any amount of money in the world that I had in my pocket if I could go to one and not be arrested. The reason I don't go to them in the Bahamas is because you could go to jail for it in the Bahamas. There are people like me. I mean, and I go there to hand out pamphlets for those of you that are listening, because I want to let you know that I was raised in the Church of God, and I couldn't be in there indulging in the sultry acts of the flesh. But I go in there to make sure that I take a reasonable head count of everybody that's in the building, and so that I could also make sure that there are no other people here that shouldn't be here. That's why I'm there. But outside of that, right? There are people like me who enjoy, for whatever the reason, vices, and they would pay to enjoy their vice and would do so without thinking about it. And it wouldn't necessarily be seen as the government taxing me, right? So a lot of the problems I think we have with the way we collect taxes is we put taxes on the things that people actually need to live. Like when I go to hand out pamphlets down at the titty bar, I don't have a problem if I have to pay an annual registration to do that, because that is my life's work and I must get it done. What I do think I have a problem with, though, is the single mother of five having to pay value-added tax on a loaf of, I don't know, well, bread is a breadbasket item, but on anything else, right? Washing detergent. What I do have a problem with is living in the Bahamas, where unless you drive one of these Japanese golf carts with air conditioning, you probably cannot afford fuel, because fuel is $5.01 now, right? Which is curiously interesting to me, because I thought you all tell me the 1 cent was gone. So I also do not know how come some regulatory body still allowing gas stations to charge me $5.01. And when I tell them I want 4 cents back, they tell me they can't give it to me. Right? But we still permit nonsense. And so if we're going to shrink the national deficit, if we're going to increase the national budget, if we're going to increase revenue generation, I think we've got to really think about some things. What can we cut from the government's responsibilities? What can we add to the government's responsibilities? Are we structuring our taxes in the right kind of way that sees the greatest level of yield? Are we ensuring that the way we do our businesses or business as a country and as a government are the most profitable? And are there some things that we should just let go? Or are people like Peter Turnquest correct, right? Which, again, I want to fall on the ground laughing at Peter with this nonsense, right? But have we already missed the window on some things that we could have capitalized on that we didn't capitalize on? We as Bahamians have to think about that. Because when people come to your door, right? Listen, I am so sick. Sick to the point that I almost want to vomit on my own tongue. I am sick of watching people clear down properties that don't belong to them or the government and being elected for it. I am sick of seeing people hand out calendar with day face on it and being elected for it. I don't think any of that equates, amounts, add up to good representation any at all. And so I think if people are going to come to your door and are going to offer themselves for public life, you have to at least know that they've thought about what would they do when they get there. And it has to be more than just riding around with a blue plate. It has to be more than just having a security officer or having a BDF Marine guard you. It has to be more than just being able to carry your own personal sidearm if you're that kind of guy. So what exactly are the challenges? How exactly do we get them fixed? And are we running behind our Caribbean or Atlantic Ocean brothers? Are we not keeping pace? And if we aren't, then how long can we survive like this and continue to maintain our status as the bombers? 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can give me a call. You can text me on 422-4796. I got a call online. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hey, Mr. Miller. What's up, my brother?
Hey, do it.
All as well. And good morning to those who wake up in the land of the living.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Miller, let me ask you a question. You have 39 seats in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Inagua in the south and to Grand Bahama in the north. And in Nassau, you have the majority of... seats.
Mm-hmm.
Am I fair to say that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. New Providence has, follow me on this, New Providence has one elected member from the Progressive Liberal Party. Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard you said something just now about cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be realistic, Mr. Miller. You have these aspirin candidates, these new candidates, in particular from the PLP, who is doing a tremendous job. Let me tell you why I say that. You have persons like, I'm just going to use an example of Mr. Ferreira as the Minister of Environment or whatever he has to still do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize after the years and years that the garbage, the debris, the derelict cars piled up in those areas like Seabreeze, areas like Marathon, areas like Golden Gates, and you have these sitting MPs now. But now you have these new aspirin candidates who's pushing their hands in their pockets. You know, that ain't the organization money. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's these people personal money. When they hire these people to clean down, move the derelict cars, to clean up. Let me tell you what happened a couple of weeks ago. Seabreeze. You got Miss Bryce up there,
mm-hmm.
right? These people in Seabreeze never, ever, ever know that there were a park in Seabreeze until one of her persons who works on her team, they found a park and they cleaned it up. After all of those years, the neglect of members of parliament for the constituencies. What do you want the new candidates to do? I understand you said putting your face on the calendar. I understand that. But they have to start somewhere. And I think cleaning up the environment is the most important thing, because Mr. Miller, if you ride around Nassau and you see the job with some of those aspirant candidates has already done, that I know personally, some that I know personally has done. Mm-hmm. They have done a tremendous job, and they even ain't elected yet.
But what does that equate to, Dwayne? I mean, okay, so listen. So you argue then that, mm-hmm. you argue, this is your argument, that people like me who cannot mm-hmm. afford, because I'm telling you now, I am not cleaning down, I cannot afford a D8 or a payloader or mm-hmm. six or seven loads of refuse being removed from a property. I cannot afford that, not off of my own personal finances. Do you then offer me as your position that someone like me ought not ever consider public life then?
Of course not.
So why is this a criteria?
Let me tell you something. I can give you an example of an incident that happened a few years ago in Tall Pine.
Mm-hmm.
When Leslie Miller was a member of parliament, but Miller was a person that cleaned down people's property mm-hmm. continuously, overly, and repeatedly. You don't care who it is, FNM, PLP, DNA, you don't care who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, apart in Tall Pines, you had these gentlemen who used to lurk in the bush, right? Used to be in the bush, and you had, in particular, that particular corner, were just basically females.
Mm-hmm.
So one night, the lady pulled up to our house, and this is real. This is reality. Mm-hmm. She pulled up to our house, and two of the gentlemen, I call them scumbags, run out of the bush and yucked the woman bag and attempt to adopt, take her away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But because cleaning down those properties, hey, Mr. Miller, listen.
But see, do it. See, here's my difficulty. My difficulty is all of these candidates are above the age of 30. That mm-hmm. thing number one.
Mm-hmm.
The bush that sits where it sits didn't mm-hmm. sit there the day they became aspirants. And no, I'm not saying that you ought to ride around this town and clean down people's personal properties out of your personal coffers. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, though, DeWitt, is I think we have been titillated too easily by these little acts. Let me tell you why. People are going around pushing down bush and cleaning it up. It's because they could afford to do that.
Okay.
Hold on. I listen to you.
Let me ask you a question.
I listen to you, so now mm-hmm. I want to give you this, right?
Yes, sir.
The problem we have in this country is that there needs to be a greater policy position on it. What do I mean? If DeWitt owns a piece of property that he don't clean down for 40 or 20 or 30 years, then I don't know what exactly would be the legal ramifications or how do we draft it in the law. But DeWitt ought to pay a penalty for that. And when he cannot pay, we ought to claim that land through eminent domain. And the government ought to now add that to their land bank that they clean.
Okay.
But for you to say that Levan Miller, mm-hmm. who is coming into your constituency and needs your vote to get into the House of Assembly.
But listen, cleaning down properties is not looking for votes, you know. But first of all,
Leslie Bryce is just driving around. Since she ain't looking for votes, right? I got three pieces of property in my area I'd like to have cleaned now. Which
you
coming
to? Representative. Mr. Miller, what I'm trying to draw you the point is that these persons,
uh-huh.
whether they are males or females, aspirant candidates, they are cleaning down properties
be out of the goodness of their heart. If uh-huh. it's out of the goodness of their heart, right?
Okay.
Then I would. My personal yard right now actually needs someone to clean it.
Okay.
They
so
wouldn't
who,
come and
who,
clean
who,
that out of the goodness.
Member of Parliament.
No one needs to come and clean my yard.
Who's the area member of Parliament?
I live in South Beach.
Okay, so why don't you ask Mr. Lloyd to do it?
Because that's not his job.
So if Mr. Barker's role decided to do it as a candidate,
then God save Barker's
role.
Then God save Barker's role. I'm telling you that I would not consider Barker's rule left or right because he cleaned down a piece of property.
No, Mr. Miller, you strayed away from the point, you know, my brother.
I ain't saying
because they cleared down a property or put down. What I'm saying to you is that they started something mm-hmm. that the government, they have, we only have one seat in Nassau, you know. That's Ms. Hannah.
I am very well.
Okay? And listen to me. If you ride around Nassau to now to then, is a plenty improvement, especially Seabreeze, Carmichael Road, these places, Mr. Miller, does not matter who's doing it, but the people that are doing it,
because
the sitting members of parliament decide not to do it.
DeWitt, I'm going to invite you to let's disagree amicably, because I thoroughly disagree with the position that you're taking. Don't try to tell me that they aren't doing it or that they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart. Because if that's the case, I got 6 properties in Anglesen right now. I want them to go clean down for me. Like, think about it right now, as a matter of fact. It's not about the goodness of their heart. What I am saying to you, though, is none of these things will increase government revenue. None of these things will decrease government deficits. None of these things will reduce government expenditure. We need policymakers that... I don't need to have my emotions stroked or agitated to make me feel bubbly, DeWitt. I need policy that then leads towards the thing that we sing about in the national anthem, man, a common loftier goal. Cleaning down 100 by 20, 120 by 180 is wonderful. Oh, I mean, bless the Lord. Then what, right? And so you have growing grass and dying cows. The property clean, the national deficit is still exorbitant. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, a pleasant. Good morning, Mr. Miller. How are you today,
sir? I feel good.
That's good. Mr. Miller, I just want to commend you on an excellent interview that you did yesterday with the Dame Marguerite Tindling. I think that may have been one of your finest moments ever.
Thank you very much.
And I give you the Pulitzer Prize for that. But Mr., you know, the other day when you had on the daughter of one of the persons who were
yes.
on that ship.
Yes.
And she had asked her son, you know, if it's May 10th and whatnot, and whether they had spoken or talked about it in school. As a former teacher myself, I just want to say that, you know, teachers, and they teach according to a syllabus, and they teach for results. And if it's not included in the syllabus,
mm-hmm.
it's not taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps the Ministry of Education, unless they put that as part of the syllabus, then for the most part, the teachers perhaps may have a day of commemoration if they so desire.
Mm.
But that needs to be put into the syllabus. Well, another thing I just want to say, you know, and Mr. Gawin Bow always alludes to this, and myself, unless you have a plan, Mr. Miller,
mm-hmm.
unless you have a road map, any road will take you
to nowhere. Any road could take you to nowhere. Mm-hmm.
And so the previous administration spent considerable amount of money in trying to develop a national development plan. And I thought that this government would have picked up the mantle and run with it. Because mm-hmm. unless we know what we have, what our resources, what are we training our children for,
mm-hmm.
we need an audit to say, well, listen, we need X amount of these persons in this particular area. How do we train this? And, you know, but we keep just doing things ad hoc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear about this cannabis thing. We want to jump on that. We hear about this. And we all over the place, man. We need to become focused. We need a plan. We need to just develop a vision for our country by our national development plan, and any government who come in will follow that plan. Why do you think China and all those other countries are so successful?
Mm.
They know where they want to go. They have a plan. But we don't have anything. We jump on anything that really buck up goals. This happening, we won't get a piece of this. We won't get a piece of this.
We have our natural
resources. And like you always say, all the money in the sea. Why are we not putting more emphasis on our fishing industries and investing in that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again, just going around and around in the circle.
Mm. Appreciate you very much, caller. And you know, and this is what I often say, right? Sure, every time a new administration takes over, it's laughable that we actually shake our pom-poms. They say, we need a new direction. And you all say, yeah, we are going the wrong way. Yeah, we get a fella the wheel, he start going that way, right? 5 years later, guess what the next fella come behind him and say? We need a new direction. Yeah, silly people. We was just going that way. He turned us around. And now this fella telling us, well, if you keep going like this, I tell you what we will do. Run out of fuel. We are going to be nowhere on with no fuel. Let's take another one. Come on and call you on. Not there? Let's take another one. Good morning, Gordon. You're on. Hey.
What's going on?
I feel like a good Robert.
Yesterday was awesome.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm gonna make you the poster child, the poster brain for young men that don't smoke, that didn't smoke that weed. The brain, for somebody who ain't been a big gang school.
Now, watch yourself now, Robert. Hold on, Robert. I can't let you get away with that. I went to Prince William High. Hold on. Under the auspices of the Reverend Doctor Charles W. Saunders. So I can't let you get away with saying I'm in the big time school.
But you're not even in the big time school trees. You're the other big time school trees.
Okay, so I'm into the other ones. Okay, good. Go on, continue.
But your brain is worked like these big time people they can't be half as good as you. But anyhow, yesterday was a good show.
Thank you, sir.
We we know what PTSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to study survivor's guilt syndrome. Google that.
Okay. I think I've heard of it.
Man, that survived that, suffers from why they still live.
Mm.
They don't talk about it.
Mm.
It's called survivor's guilt syndrome. Mm. Study that.
Okay.
And also, right, what club do you say you like to go to?
What, you mean when I'm handing out pamphlets?
No, when you were going in the States, you don't go to here.
You mean the titty bars that I go to handle pamphlets?
No. That's a white word. Right? We don't go out about that. We go to the script club.
But only in my capacity, Robert. Only in my capacity to handle pamphlets and to do reconnaissance missions.
I can see you ain't worldly.
Right. You can look at me.
We don't go out about that.
Indeed.
That's a white people club.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, thank you.
323-623-22-34-316-325-4259. Since I got calls, let's take them. Morning call, you're on. That's my music. I go into the break. Let me read this. Lehman, the PLP started many good things that they thought made the country progressive, especially for that time. It may need some adjustment after many years, but I hate hearing people complain, especially when governments changed many times, where they could have changed it for the new times, but nope. Vision. That's what it says. Lehman, I get sick and tired of watching people campaign on fixing basketball courts, roads, and parks, giving out food each week. I don't live on a park or play basketball. You're very correct. And I don't eat sardine, so you ain't need to bring none of that to my house. I don't eat sardine. I don't eat Kraft dinner. I really like tuna, but you say you can bring me some tuna if you'd like. Don't eat corned beef. None of these things y'all put in this box, I just eat. But if you take that off a grocery, guess what? I could actually go buy my own grocery. And it ain't gonna cost $2.2 million a week either. That's my music. I go into a break. Don't go anywhere. Lehman Miller is here. We'll be back.
Revisited us, true and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
When one suffers, we all suffer. Mental health is health too.
If you need someone to talk to, contact the National Suicide Abuse Hotline at 322-2763 or the Bahamas Psychological Association Mental Health Support Lines for adults, 816-3799, and for children, adolescents, and parents, 819-7652. This Mental Health Awareness Month message brought to you by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
There may come a time when you are instructed to self-quarantine, but what does that mean? Someone who self-quarantines stays at home in one room because he or she may have been exposed to COVID-19. This person is not sick, but may or may not develop the disease during this time. This person uses a separate bathroom from others in the house. Only one designated person should provide care to the individual who is self-quarantining. During this time, no visitors are allowed. These steps are taken to reduce the risk of spreading the disease. Persons living alone who are required to self-quarantine cannot leave their homes. If there is a need for medication or food, a family member can assist. Otherwise, health officials and social services will ensure that persons' basic needs are met. Know the names and dosages of medications prescribed in case a refill is needed. A member of the contact tracing team will assess the individual daily via telephone. They will monitor symptoms and collect information. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller here. I'm Unleashed. I'm on your radio every weekday from 11 to 12. And please, I invite you to give Guardian a call. You know, you see me, you ask me, how do you go about being a part of the show? Well, let me tell you how you can be a part of the show. You can give us a call at Guardian. You can talk to Janet Lees or our wonderful marketing department. And you can become a sponsor of the of Unleashed with Levin Miller here on Guardian Radio. That's a wonderful way to be a part of the show. Text right here writes, legalize marijuana, brothels and strip clubs leaving, revenue would spike. I think the introduction of a sin tax would be something that would be quite interesting. As a matter of fact, I think if you implemented a sin tax, you could kind of just make it mandatory for all tourists to pay it, right? So all tourists, when you're coming into the Bahamas, you pay, just like how you have a cruising permit fee, you pay a sin fee. And then you could go do whatever you like. We ain't care. Levin, I agree. Our prison system is holistically dated and needs reform. I support a private federal comprehensive reform. However, like you, I am too apprehensive about the possible dubious private persons, entities that will be vying for the venture. Your thoughts? I think after watching the way judges are appointed, every now and again, I become wary of the possibility of people in political places trying to fondle justice. That being a concern of mine, I would then say that, and this sounds terrible, it would possibly be best to have the prison run by a company that isn't Bahamian. And then that way, I imagine that the skirt of justice doesn't have to worry about anybody raising it. Thus impeding her ability to concentrate on whether or not the scale of justice remains at an equilibrium. Is that good for you? Okay. Asked which park he's talking about. I've lived in the area for the past 30 years. I don't know. The new candidates are creating a false vision of the responsibility of government. You are responsible for your surroundings. The government can assist, but that is not their sole responsibility. We need to focus on what is the role of government and stop looking for personal favors. What is the role of government? Well, if you remember, Mr. Ingram actually did a cleanup campaign during his last term in office that I thought was quite wonderful. The difficulty is it wasn't maintained, and that you know, that's like the baby in the bathwater. The baby went, so did the bathwater. And so after the election, these properties will once again grow out of control until another aspiring candidate sees the need to clear it down. I imagine that's what will happen. What does it say? I'm not surprised that DeWitt calls to highlight the PLP and who candidates. Their actions are smoke and mirrors, so we should vote for them because they removed Bush. It's laughable. The PLP is using the same old tactics to gain votes. They live in the dark ages of campaign, and we, the Bahamian people, have risen higher than the Bush they seek to clear. Let's face it, the PLP isn't dealing with policy. They are in the business of flip-flop, flam the public. They aren't serious. I think they use very general language too. We need bold and big ideas. What does that mean? What does that mean? And if you say big and bold 60 times, it doesn't make it mean anything different. It still only means big and bold, and we aren't sure what that means. This one says, I disagree with DeWitt as well. I agree with you, Levin. This is why we get swing every election, because people that vote on the basis of these type of acts that mean nothing. Brother Miller, don't want to hear DeWitt. We in Seabreeze Imperial Park ask Miss Lanisha 4 years to cut trees off the power line and no reply. When the birds land on our lines, the power goes off. Well, that's a BEC problem. Did you call BEC? Good morning. What is a titty bar? A titty bar is a place that I go to hand out pamphlets and do a head count to make sure that there aren't decent, holistic Church of God people hanging up in there. And I take a wonderful documentation of the names of all suspected Church of God people. I let the Catholics do whatever they like. And I keep it in my notebook so that when I see them, I could say, brother, now you know that open rebuke is better than secret love. But because you are my brother, I shall love you with the love of the Lord as I whisper into your ears. Man, wear a hat next time, all right? Let's take this last call, Ali. Come on. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hi, all in for the radio.
You're on. Okay. You're on.
All right. Hey, how you doing, man?
I good.
I'm calling. I have two properties I need to get cleaned out. I need you to contact one of those future member of parliament to do that out of goodness of their heart, please.
Well, they could come weed my yard, because I really want to weed my yard. But every time I think about calling my landscaping guy, the clouds get gray, and I'm not going to pay to cut the grass for God to water it, because that ain't going to make no sense. But if they're doing it for free...
But the fellow that's calling, say, the person doing it on the goodness of their heart.
Yeah, for free, come on down.
I have two properties I need to clean up. Can you contact him, please, and tell him, give me one of those people to come to this yard? He really needed too much.
I'll see what I can get done for you, caller. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, let's take this last one, Allenton. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hi, yes, good morning.
Turn your radio down for me. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Listen, Levi, let me ask you a question. How much crown land do you have?
Crown land that I have?
How much crown land do you have?
None.
And I have no crown land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you a question. How is that you and I become a part of the problem, you know, of the shanty towns and the issues that we are having in this country? If you don't have any crown land, I don't have any crown land. You don't own any Haitians, do you? And I don't own any Haitians. Mm-hmm. So why is it that people keep saying that we all are part of the problem, you know, and we don't want to hold the government's feet to the fire and say it is their responsibility to implement the proper laws and stuff that would prevent these things from happening. If they go in the House or in Cabinet and fix these problems, fix these issues that we have, close these loopholes and stuff that we have, then we can have some change in this country. But they refuse to do it. And then you got a bunch of merrymen who want to always say, we all are a part of the problem. We all are not a part of
the problem. Yeah, no, they definitely aren't a part.
I'm not a part of it because I don't own any Haitians and I don't own any crown land for them to build shanty towns on.
No, you're
so,
very
you know,
correct.
Come on, man. Let's get this thing right, man.
Appreciate you, caller. A lot of times it's their friends. That's why they don't fix the policies. And so you take my point. My point is, to wit, like I made earlier, it don't matter to me. If you clean down every piece of bush on the planet, until we get good policy making, until we get people that go in there and make good policies, and I'm not really sure. Maybe until we stop cabinet ministers from riding the elevator, because I'm telling you that there were decent men that went into this cabinet. Ellsworth Johnson, in my mind, is a decent, good, upstanding Christian man. All right? And the fact that he's in the cabinet, I imagine that wonderful things would have come out of the cabinet. If you know me any at all, you know that Darren Henfield in my lineup of people is God, Jesus, my ma, Darren Henfield. All right? But somehow the elevator ride changes things for these people that I can't quite explain. So maybe we need to take the elevator out of cabinet office and then we'll see better policy. I don't hear my music yet, but I know I'm almost flat out of time. And so my friend from place X, you know it is the top of the hill. I'll see you soon. All right. Anyway, that's my time. It's Stephen Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. It's next.